Stelling poll, rejoice. Rejoice. Boris Johnson has drained the swamp and saved the Conservatives. By James Stelling poll on September 6, 2019. Boris Johnson has drained the swamp of the Conservative Parliamentary Party so thoroughly that even his own brother Joe Johnson MP has slunk off to spend more time, as the joke has it, away from his family. I'm sure Joe is a jolly clever chap, but he's really no loss to the party. Any more than the departure of Sir Nicholas Soames is a loss, or that of Sir Oliver Wetwin is a loss, or that of any of the other Remainer holdouts is a loss. Frankly, in every case, the Conservative Party is well rid of them, and I see no merit whatsoever in the calls by certain cabinet members for them to be reinstated. If a bunch of squatters had occupied your home for 30 years, selling off all your silver and your paintings, repainting your Pharaoh and Ball interiors in red and black gloss, draining the wine cellar and turning it into a crack den, and you finally got an eviction order, what kind of prat would you have to be invite them to stay, because after all they've been here so long it's their home too? No, the Conservative Party should never have been the home of Gray Clark, Guido Bebb, Sam Jaima, David Gawk, Philip Hammond, or, let's be honest, corpulent, suede shoe jazz boar Kenneth Clark. Some might, at a push, have made credible Lib Dems. If that's not an oxymoron, others would have been better off never entering politics at all for all the good they did. Not one of them was what you'd call a proper conservative, either with or without a capital C. Good riddance to the lot of them. When I tweeted out my thoughts on this subject, lots of sensible people agreed with me and shared my joy over this Thatcherite purge. It really does feel as though, after three lost decades, we genuine conservatives have finally got our party back again. Inevitably, though, there were one or two quibblers. Their arguments were variations on the same predictable old themes, and you hear them a lot from the squishy, faux-right commentariat. The Conservative Party is a broad church. One nation conservatism, you prefer ideology to the good of the country. Politics is the art of the possible, based on compromise, etc. I think it's time, don't you, that I wheeled out my favorite analogy? One day, I hope, it will enter the lexicon as it thoroughly deserves. I refer, of course, to my dog shit yogurt fallacy. The dog shit yogurt fallacy is essentially what the Broadchurch school of alleged conservatism is forever advocating. If you're the kind of person, like me, who prefers fruit in his yogurt, you'll quickly be able to spot the problem here. But you'd be amazed by how many people there are out there, even educated people, especially educated people, who just don't get it. They say, ah, but we've always been a broad church. We don't want to end up being dominated by the fringe of right-wing ideologues. By right-wing ideologues, what they mean is people who believe in basic conservative principles: limited government, personal responsibility, free markets, lower taxes, liberty, property rights, national sovereignty, strong defense. You may wonder, well, I certainly do and have done for many years now, what special qualities that people who don't qualify as right-wing ideologues bring to the conservative mix. An invigorating theory that, actually, higher taxes are better? A bracing notion that we can do without defense altogether? A helpful idea that, though national sovereignty is all very well, you've got to admit that it makes far more sense devolving most of your powers to unelected bureaucrats from a corrupt, failing, socialistic superstate, because then your elected representatives in parliament won't have to do so much work? Or what? Let's go back, a moment, to those 21 conservative rebels. And beyond them to all the other, utterly crap, conservatives in name only who have dominated the parliamentary party since Margaret Thatcher was ousted. From Nick Bowles and Justine Greening all the way back to John Major and Michael Heseltine. Can any of you name me one single thing that any of them achieved throughout their time either in the cabinet or on the back benches that contributed positively to the cause of the right? Or did anything to hold up the relentless advance of the left? Spoiler alert, you can't. While a few brave souls, from the likes of Norman Tebbit in the Thatcher era to heroes like Steve Baker in the present, have stuck up bravely for conservative principles, often at the expense of career advancement, most have just gone with the flow. That flow has been an almost continuously leftwards direction. Anyone who claims otherwise is a liar or an idiot. I discuss the problem in some detail here with reference to a brilliant column in Country Squire by David Isles. Here's the money quote. This tectonic shift has been building for some time, driven on the one hand by the forces of Fabianism and cultural Marxism, on the other by the conservative surrender of their core philosophies in favor of pragmatism, i.e. drifting leftward to shake off the nasty tag, which of course they'll never lose because the people who dictate the terms are their even more left-wing opponents. And it's why, of course, the conservatives have lost so many of their natural supporters over the years to UKIP and then the Brexit Party. Until Boris, and his ruthless axeman Dominic Cummings, took over, the Conservative Party was dying, and thoroughly deserving of death. In its desperation to appeal to centrists with no real sympathy for conservative values, it ditched most of its principles and showed nothing but contempt for its base. David Cameron made this contempt quite explicit when he described himself as the heir to Blair. Cameron, here, was doing something similar to what his even more useless successor Theresa May did when she described the Conservatives as the nasty party, effectively conceding to the left that there is something shaming about conservative values and that the only way to rescue the tarnished brand would be to focus on social issues, like gay marriage, and bang the drum for our creaking socialistic NHS and ruthlessly weed out any potential conservative candidates who sounded or looked like actual conservatives. Obviously, there is still much work to be done here. It's not yet clear how Boris is going to deliver Brexit or what arrangement he's going to come to with the Brexit Party or how, as we all must hope, he's going to nix Theresa May's withdrawal agreement. But these are just details. What matters far more is the bigger picture. For the first time since the 1980s, Britain finally has a government which is recognizably conservative and is acting in accordance with the values of an essentially conservative country. It's a bit of a hostage to fortune, I know, given that so much could yet go wrong. I believe though that Britain is on the verge of entering another golden age, and that Boris Johnson is set to join Winston Churchill and Margaret Thatcher as one of the three great conservative prime ministers of the last 100 years.